So blessed to have Ken Ham, the founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis, with us here this morning. He's also from the Creation Museum in Kentucky, USA. And Karen, I think this bloke, John Mackay, who you know pops into our show regularly.
This bloke, this good friend of ours.
You never know who John Mackay is going to bring in to visit with us, do you, hey?
I know, what a treat to have his good friend Ken.
So let's just begin firstly with John. How did you first connect with Ken? Tell us a bit of your background together.
Okay, just briefly then, before I got involved in this, I used to play music. There was a Baptist church in Petrie Terrace, and I used to do music for them. And
yeah.
Ken also used to go to that Baptist church when he was down from up the bush. And so we had a common link between Alan Cosgrove and Ken in Dalby and me here. And
yeah.
Also, when I started a creation group for teachers, I was looking for Christian teachers. And Dr. Gordon Jones, one of the smartest men I've ever met, happened to pass Ken's name on to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the short version of ultimately how we got together and God brought us to be a team then and a team now.
So you were a Queensland science teacher?
Yes.
Ken was a Queensland science teacher in the high schools?
Yes, I was working at Brisbane Grammar at the time in the science department. Ken was working with the government, and both of us had a conviction that A, we're Christians, B, we need to do something about the fact that, well, one evangelist came to me and said, how can I reach out to these kids who are telling me you're wasting your time telling us about Jesus because we know Adam and Eve aren't true, and Ken had the same burden.
Mm, fantastic. Well, Ken, let's find out a bit about your story. So whereabouts were you born and raised?
Actually, I was born in Cairns,
yep,
right up the north.
Beautiful.
And my father was a teacher, actually, and he was transferred around about every 3 years as a headmaster and, you know, getting promotions. And it was interesting because my parents, you know, ardent Christians. In fact, my father, when he was dying in hospital 17 years ago, one of my brothers asked him, why did you love God's word so much? And he said, well, his earthly father died when he was 16. So he said he just turned to the words of his heavenly father and read them over and over again. So he was saturated in the word of God.
Mm.
And Dad so loved God's word, stood on God's word, never wanted to knowingly compromise God's word in any way whatsoever. And so I saw that as I was growing up, because as we moved around, some of the places we went to, little country areas in Queensland, had no Sunday schools. My parents started Sunday schools. Sometimes there's only one or two churches. My father would look for the church that stood on God's word the best, you know. And I remember one of those places when a pastor was preaching and he said, well, a little boy took out his loaves and fishes and everybody else did the same and it wasn't a real miracle.
Oh.
And, you know, what my father would do in a gentle sort of way, but after the service he would go up to the pastor, open up his Bible and say, can I challenge you? Thus saith the Lord.
Mm,
you know,
wow.
This is what God's word says. So I was brought up with a father who was really an apologist. I mean, he didn't use the word apologetics, but he was all the time answering the skeptical questions of the age and the critics of the age. And so I grew up in that sort of home.
Mm.
And then, you know, we were eventually transferred to Brisbane. I lived in Mount Isa before that, actually. And when I went to high school, and that was in Serena, south of Mackay, I remember going to high school and opening up the textbooks, and they taught evolution as fact in the textbooks. And I remember going home to my father and saying, what do I do with this about evolution, millions of years? And he didn't have any answers at that stage. Didn't have a creation museum, didn't have all the books we have now or the websites we have now.
Mm.
And he said, I don't know all the answers to that, but I do know that, you know, when something looks like it contradicts the Bible, you do two things. One, you go to God's word and you make sure you're taking it in context according to the literature and the grammatical, historical, interpretive method. And then if there's still a conflict, then you don't question God's word. There's something wrong with fallible man who wasn't there, who doesn't know everything.
Mm.
And so I lived for a while, in a sense, you know, through high school and on into university with questions, not having those answers, and eventually came across a little book from England and then the Genesis Flood, famous book by Drs. Whitcomb and Morris that really started the modern creationist movement and found there were answers to these questions. In fact, it was Dr. Gordon Jones, who went to be with the Lord not that long ago, actually, who was one of the heads of a teachers' college in Brisbane. He was one that introduced me to that book, the Genesis Flood. And when I had those answers, I remember when I became a teacher, my first teacher point was in Dalby, and went out to Dalby, and one of the first classes I taught, one of the students said, Mr. Ham, we heard you're a Christian. You're going to be running the Christian group here. And I said, yes. And they said, well, how can you be a Christian? Because we know the Bible's not true. And I said, how do you know the Bible's not true? They said, well, look, well, our textbooks teach us about evolution and millions of years and so on. And for them, I saw that evolution, the teaching of millions of years, was such a big stumbling block to them even being receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God gave me a fire in my bones at that stage. to be able to give them answers. And that's what I started to do. I started to give them some of the answers that I had obtained over time.
Mm.
And those kids became interested. I even heard of some years later that became Christians as a result of that.
And it's been wonderful to hear the start of Ken's story, Karen. I've heard this guy on the radio for years.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it good to actually meet him face to face today?
It sure is,
hey?
Indeed. And to also realise the connection with John, who's been with us for now a couple of years on the radio here in Vision.
We have enjoyed time together, but it is great to have a listen to Ken today.
So, Ken, we've heard a bit of your story about how your father was a very strong man of the Word of God and really imparted that to you, and you had that thirst for knowledge and truth as a young fella. And then you're talking about school and university years, you really wanted to get a grasp of this creation, principle to be able to teach. Tell us a bit about how you got the creation bug.
I started to realize, just as my father taught me, that if you can't believe Genesis, how can you believe the rest of the Bible?
Mm.
Because all of our doctrines are founded in Genesis. I mean, why is marriage a man and a woman? Genesis. Why is there sin in the world? Genesis. Why do we die? Genesis. Why do we wear clothes? Genesis. Why do we need a new heavens and new earth? Genesis. Why do we have a seven-day week? Genesis.
Sounds simple.
Why did Jesus die on a cross? Genesis. Why is Jesus called the last Adam? Genesis. You get the idea? So my father had really instilled in us how important it is to trust God's word and believe God's word. And I realized the book of Genesis, particularly the first 11 chapters, is foundational to the whole of the rest of the Bible.
Mm.
And it's interesting, when I started to give answers to the kids in school, in my science classes, the Lord put what I call that fire in my bones. Like Jeremiah talks about a fire in my bones. And I remember I was invited to speak to a couple of Bible studies in the local area at a couple of churches, and I was shocked because I found that most of the people said, well, we thought you could believe in evolution, just say God used evolution, and we thought you didn't have to believe in Genesis. And I was saying to them, wait a minute, you believe in evolution. You've got death and bloodshed and disease and suffering for millions of years, as you see in the fossil record, before man, and then God calls all that very good. Wait a minute, the Bible makes it very clear that death and disease and suffering is a consequence of sin. Death is an enemy, and so on. And this is undermining the gospel, because if you're saying God's responsible for death and we're not responsible for death, why did Jesus die on a cross and was raised from the dead? And so I started explaining things to them. It was at that stage there was, I don't know whether they still do this, but they had a youth exchange. And I was to lead the youth exchange, where the youth from Dolby Church went down to Brisbane and the youth from Brisbane Church went up to Dolby. And at that youth exchange, we ended up in Peachtree Terrace Baptist Church, where I gave the first ever talk in a church on the creation issue. And it was really that connected me with various people, John Mackay, with some people that became, or one particular man that became one of our board members later on. And so that was really the beginnings of this. And then as I started to teach in more and more churches, I remember there's one stage, we were out at Dolby for 2 years, and my wife and I basically looked across the table at each other one morning and said, we're not meant to be here anymore. God's called us to do something else. And so applied for a transfer, and actually was transferred to Brisbane. And in 1977, I think it was, met up with John Mackay to run the first ever major creation apologetics conference. And we did that together. And one of the things I noticed, I had a burden to start importing books from around the world. I'd bought all these different books because I thought, wow, those answers from those books meant a lot to me. Other people will want to hear these answers. And when I displayed those books, I remember people saying, can I buy this book? Can I buy that one? How do I get these? And so God gave John and I a real burden about how do we get these into Australia. And we started a little bookstore in our home there in Sunnybank Hills,
mm-hmm.
put a little extension on the front, started a bookstore, started importing books. And there's a long story to it, and lots of things happened. But that was really the beginnings of the creation apologetics ministry in Australia. Back then, it was we had some funny names for it, like Creation Science Educational Media Services. I think John Mackay came up with that one. We shortened that eventually. We had Creation Science Supplies, and eventually Creation Science Foundation, then eventually Answers in Genesis. And, of course, the Answers in Genesis ministry is headquartered in the USA with the mm-hmm. Creation Museum, but that's all a part of the long journey, by the way, to show how that came about. But
I reckon one day we should go over there, Karen, and do a live broadcast from the Creation Museum.
Fantastic.
That'd be good.
Here's the visionary behind this whole construction of a full-size Noah's Ark. I'm sure we'll hear more about your museum as we go along, but that'd be great.
Love to.
Lots of Christian radio stations have done that. You shouldn't be left out.
Okay, absolutely. We'll talk to the powers that be today. Awesome. And Karen, I'm feeling a bit left out, like I should have a beard this morning. These two guys have got, I'm very, you know.
Well, Adam had a beard.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll grow on you, man.
Yeah. I'm just wondering.
You're unique. It's okay.
You missed a bit up here, Ken. The mustache is missing there. Is that part of the, you know, the creation ministry? Do you have to have that as part of the look? Or?
Well, you know, one of America's favorite presidents was Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
So they say I look like Abraham
Lincoln.
You do
look a bit like Abraham
Lincoln. Actually.
Yeah.
You're right.
430 years ago. How's it going? Anyway. So we've been hearing a bit of Ken's story this morning about how he was raised with a passion for the Word of God, to teach literally the Word of God, and a passion to teach about creation. And then you started all these ministries, and we mentioned all the different names you and John came up with, but Answers in Genesis then became the big focus for you. Tell us about the big move to America, because you obviously travelled pretty much every state of Australia, probably every town and city in Australia, teaching the Word of God. Tell us about the big call to move to the States for you.
Well, you know, John and I did travel many, many miles together, and of course, individually as well, all across Australia. We also started traveling over to USA. We were asked by the Institute for Creation Research, that was then the leading creation apologetics organization in the world, headed by Dr. Henry Morris. Mm-hmm. And he's with the Lord now. And Dr. Dwayne Gish, who just passed away just recently, actually, two great men of God, two of my heroes of the faith, if you like. They really are. Well, we were invited over there, and we did some speaking tours over in America. And at one particular stage, Dr. Henry Morris was talking to me, and he said, "We don't really have anyone here." I mean, they had scientists, and you know, sometimes scientists can say things in such technical ways, people don't understand what they're saying. Mm. Whereas I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, "God must love the ordinary person. He made so many of them." people want to be able to hear the big picture understanding of things, and I believe that's a gift that the Lord gave me and gave to John too. We're both communicators because we're teachers and we like to communicate at a level that people can understand. And so he asked if I would consider coming over there for a few years maybe to help them out to get the message into the churches. And we recognized that America was really the center of the Christian world, the center of the business world in many ways at that stage. And so it was agreed that I would come over here, John would stay in Australia and look after the ministry there. And so I went to the States. But, you know, it was interesting, just before that, I had also knelt down a piece of property with one of our board members here, John Thallon, actually, who lives in the Manly area. And we prayed that the Lord would allow us to build a creation museum. Because I remember when I was a school teacher, taking my kids to the secular museums, all from an evolutionist perspective, the Lord gave me a burden. Why can't we have a creation museum? And by the way, the Lord answered that prayer, but 30-odd years later, in a different country, in the most unexpected place. And it's an incredible place now, the Creation Museum. So I went over and worked with Dr. Henry Morris for 7 years. Instead of returning to Australia, then just had that burden to build a Creation Museum. So the three of us from California who moved then out to the greater Cincinnati area, actually northern Kentucky, which is right against the border of Ohio, right in the Cincinnati area, and to build a creation museum. And that's what we did. And the creation museum was opened 6.5 years ago. Mm. 1.9 million people have come through the creation museum.
Fantastic.
Since opening.
Mm.
And our next big vision is for the Ark, which we hope to get underway at the end of this year. A lot of the architectural work's been done and the engineering.
So God's told you to build an Ark.
So we're gonna build Noah's Ark. Actually, at the size of the Ark, out of wood, three stories, you know, just like the Bible says, and mm-hmm. all sorts of exhibits inside, and it's got a tremendous evangelistic message. And that's really what our ministry is all about. We're not just about converting people to be creationists. Mm. We want to see people converted to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. Now, I'm interested to know about your family. So your mm-hmm. lovely wife, Mally, how mm-hmm. many children do you have?
So I have one wife.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear.
Mally. And we have five children.
Yeah.
Four of them are married. Still got one single. She's 25. Great car. Works at the Creation Museum. Really nice girl.
Thought I'd advertise
while we're at. We have 12 grandchildren, 10 out of the womb and 2 in the womb.
Yes.
Wow.
You
know what I mean? So, and they all live in the northern Kentucky area where we are.